Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
And here we go, Digital Adele back with another Hoops Profile Beyond, correction, a Digital Adele Hoops Beyond the Backboard podcast for you with my co-host, Matt Hanifin. How you feeling today, Matt?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I am feeling fancy. We're in a new studio. We got a new look. Same old show. But I'm really digging Restream. So let me give a little behind the back scene, behind the curtain scenes. What? Behind the scenes story to the audience about what's happening. We used to use playback.tv /Digital Adele Hoops. We would ask you to subscribe, come visit us there if you weren't watching on YouTube. And that's where we used to do the show, you know, get together, get into the playback studio and watch and produce the content. Well, they've went belly up. Unfortunately, they've sunsetted all of their tools and they are no more. So we went over to Streamlabs, and if you were here for the last YouTube episode, that was a disaster. Matt Hanifin kept getting kicked off. I was getting extremely frustrated. Somehow he ended up with like 8 different windows of my face. You know, his girl,
it kept multiplying actually after I took that photo. It
multiplying like a virus.
It got to at least a dozen. Like, it was crazy.
Yeah. So needless to say, Streamlabs, we left you. I will not be paying for that. We went to Restream, and this is the studio we're in right now. And so right now we got the fancy graphic going. We got the, you know, the backgrounds. It looks a little more polished, a little professional, wouldn't you say, Matt Hanifin? Absolutely. Let me tweet out that we're live so the people know that we're live. Because really, I didn't upload the last two podcasts. Mainly, I forgot. Because with playback being down, I got to download these like 24 hours later when YouTube makes them available. Like I used to. I got used and spoiled by the playback sessions, being able to download immediately. But, you know, one day we'll be even more important on YouTube, and maybe they'll give us the priority server to allow us to download immediately. But let me share this on YouTube. Before I do that, Matt Hanifin, we're going to do our Around SI segment. And that's what we're going to call it, Around SI. Because me and Matt Hanifin both are... Did I call you Matt Hanifin? Have you lost weight? Matt Hanifin.
Probably. I don't know. I haven't checked in a while.
I mean, I know
I sound like that sounds like a bad thing when I say probably, but for me at my size, I don't know if losing weight's the best.
No, but we don't want you to disappear, Matt. We don't want you to just self-implode and no longer see, you know, no longer exist. What's really strange, I'm still trying to figure out all of this stuff for Restream, but there's a little eyeball on my screen, not on your side. And I wonder if that's the number of people watching on YouTube. I wonder.
Could be,
because it is fluctuating. I doubt people are able to come into Restream and watch us through Restream, because that would be really weird. But yeah, so Matt, tell the people what you've been working on for Sports Illustrated's website on SI recently.
Last couple of days, takeaways from for me, it's just the Orlando Magic side of things, but the Orlando Magic played the New York Knicks in the Emirates Cup, quarterfinals, On Saturday, they lost to the Knicks 132-120. Jalen Suggs got hurt in the third quarter, which was very unfortunate. But the Knicks are now on to the in-season tournament championship, which is actually tonight. You probably have already watched this by the time of listening to this, but yes, the New York Knicks play, I believe, the San Antonio Spurs for the in-season tournament cup championship. That doesn't count towards the regular season. That's the only game of the in-season tournament that doesn't count towards the regular season stats. It's kind of weird how that works. I know I'm going on a little bit of a side tangent here, but like a player could score like 60 points and it just doesn't count. Like that feels right. Kind of crazy to me. Anyway, yes, takeaways from that game. There was a recent Hoops Hype piece over the weekend that ranked the top 25 players of the last 25 years. So pretty much the top 25 players through the first quarter century of the 21st century. And Dwight Howard was toward the end of that list. So I wrote something on that. And then another recent one was Paolo Banchero talked a little bit about finding his stride post-injury. He came back from the groin injury. It was a bit of a slow start for him. Like, he wasn't really like, you know, I mean, he was scoring points. I think he had 16 points, 18 points in his second and third game back, but it wasn't like an loud, impactful stint from him. He had 25 in the loss to the Knicks, including 17 in the second half alone. And so he just talked a little bit about, you know, finding his stride a little bit. But that's all for me right now, man. As many or some of you may know, I'm doing a lot elsewhere. So
absolutely. He's a man of many hats, Matt Hanifin. Yeah. Well, I'm going to share a little bit about what I was working on as well. And so this is on SI's website. If you haven't seen it, for Sports Illustrated, I cover the draft angle of things, NBA draft. Imagine that, me, NBA draft stuff. And in regards to the Indiana Pacers, the Orlando Magic, the Miami Heat, Memphis Grizzlies, and Milwaukee Bucks. And so this article, it's all about what are the odds of you finding an all NBA player in the NBA draft. And so the data is from 1976 all the way up to 2024. And a pick taken in the top 10, obviously the first overall pick has the highest odds, 26.3%. And I think people will find that interesting. I'll put the link to the article also in the chat and the description below. So if you do want to check it out, it's on SI. There's no paywall or anything like that. All of the content and articles you can read for free. Free 99, as they say. But that's what I've been working on. I mean, there's all kind of stuff swirling. I've got articles out there on how the NBA lottery works. A lot of people don't realize how the lottery works. Matt's corrected me on some things because he's very good like that. He's got the young brain. I've got the old brain. So sometimes I mess things up.
I mean, me too. So,
I mean, that's human.
Don't beat yourself up too much.
Oh, don't you worry. I've got plenty of ego to go around. I'm just kidding. But yeah, man, I want to dive into college basketball because I know I was a little bit ahead of you in terms of watching some of these players, specifically Darius Acuff. Well, specifically Darius Acuff. Did you get a chance to finally watch him?
Oh, no. We've watched Acuff. I've watched Acuff. I watched the Michigan State game very early in the year.
Oh,
we talked
that's
about that a little bit.
Right. But this most recent game, did you watch that
one? Oh, yeah. Just for the listeners, we're recording this on Tuesday, December 16th. We talked a little bit about it that day, but they play Texas Tech. Acuff was outstanding, man. Acuff was, I'm pulling up his final stat line now, but I thought he was really good, especially like in that second half. 20 points, 8 assists, 4 rebounds, 7 of 14 shooting, 2 of 5 from deep. I thought his poise throughout the game was really good. It's his third straight game with at least 8 assists or more. He's just been really impressive lately. And I think I'm not saying I haven't come around on him. But I think I'm a little bit higher on him than I was at the beginning of the season. you know, relative to kind of where I had, because I had him as like a fringe top 10 guy early in the season.
Right.
Like when I first watched him, obviously it took him a little while for them to play like legitimate competition. And then like, since he's played legitimate competition against Duke, Louisville, Texas Tech, like he's been really, really, really good. I think the thing that I've liked about him most is like his poise, especially like he's someone who gets trapped a lot.
Yeah, they do. They try to blitz him.
Yeah, they're going to try to blitz him. They're going to try to trap him. And like he does a good job like with the escape dribbles, finding the open, you know, either it's a roll man hitting the open skip pass, whatever that may be. And so I've been really impressed with his poise. Like he doesn't get really rattled. Like I know sometimes he, you know, he goes at his own pace a little bit and you kind of want him to go faster than he actually is. But then when you see him in the open court, it's like, okay, he actually has some burst to him. Like he's not a great vertical athlete, but like he's got burst. He, as you've talked about it on here before, he's just built like a tank. Like he kind of reminds me of the, I don't know if we talked about this already, but he kind of reminds me of like the Isaiah Collier type build in terms of like his strength, his upper
body
strength.
Type for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't,
and I think he's actually stronger than Collier. Like I think he's already more muscular than Collier was at that point.
He might be, they're close. But he was excellent. Like I think, especially in that second half, he, you know, was a little bit more aggressive, a little bit more forceful with his intention, like what he was trying to do and like trying to score, trying to get into the paint, you know, and creating off of that. And yeah, he was very, very, very good. I even talked about him defensively. Like I know I said on here that I didn't love the Michigan State tape defensively. I still have some worries about like the screen navigation and whatnot, but like it's not, again, for him, it's not for lack of effort. Like he does a good job staying engaged, the energy.
Definitely.
Again, from time to time, you know, he'll get blown by or he'll be late to react to something or something like that. But like I think I'm a little bit higher on him defensively after watching that game than I previously was heading into it.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing that I took away from that game, not only is the poise when he gets trapped, he never picks his dribble up. Not only does he do the escape dribble, he'll split it. He'll fake one way and then try to attack the weaker defender. He does a lot of that stuff. And when he decides to get downhill, he gets downhill fast. He can. My takeaway from that, because remember when we first started evaluating him, I was like, is he slow? Like, is he not able to separate? But I really think it's that because he plays like an NBA vet, he's a lot like CJ McCollum in the fact that he only goes as fast as necessary. And when it's necessary to go really quick and fast, he can, but he just doesn't do it if he doesn't have to. It kind of reminded me of the CJ McCollum in that way. His defense is getting better. And early on in the season, for the people that are just joining us, we're talking about, again, Darius Acuff Jr., because I love my point guards. They didn't really give him a lot of responsibility. They would give the responsibility to like Malik Thomas, DJ Wagner. They would put the ball in other guys' hands to take pressure off him. And I think now that Cal has kind of got his trust, he's like, look, put it in Acuff's hands. He's going to carry us to where we need to go. And I just think that confidence from the coach is what the difference is in showing in his game.
100%. 100%.
I want to talk about Yoxel Lindenborg. Because this draft is so deep and at his draft age, what do you think? What's the highest you would pick him?
Ooh.
Isn't that a tough question? Yeah. Yeah. Right now.
Probably like in the late teens.
Late teens. Okay. Late teens. I could see that. Like, would you draft
17, 18, 19, somewhere in that range. If it, like the highest, absolute highest, probably somewhere around there.
Would you draft Bennett Sterritz over him? Or would you draft him before Bennett?
I do like Sterritz.
It's a tough question, right? Shout out to Alex Toledo.
I would probably take Sterritz.
Do you have any concerns about Sturtz?
I want to see what Sturtz looks like in Big Ten play first.
Yes.
And I know absolutely. That's it's a little bit of a cop-out, Just and it also like Sturts is unbelievable in the scheme that Ben McCollum plays.
For but sure.
It's, but it's so a like style. He has that benefit, but like I want to see it. We saw it a little bit against Iowa State. I don't know how much of that game you watched, but like Iowa State's one of the best defenses in the country. And I think at times he struggled. I think he's going to adapt, but I want to see how it looks first. I mean, they played Michigan State. They played Ole Miss, which is a game that I watched that he was really, really, really good in.
Yeah.
He played Xavier early in the season, had 21, 8, 3, and 2. Like, I don't like, I would probably take Sturts. But it's, I don't know. I'd have to think about that a little bit more. I mean, Yoxel's been phenomenal. He's super impactful in everything that he does. Even though he, you know, the athletic profile, I think, leaves a little bit to be desired. But, like, he just impacts the game. And he's,
yeah,
it's been very loud this season.
I mean, especially at the size, man. 6'9 and three quarters, 235 pounds. Being able to go get buckets the way he can get buckets. My biggest thing with Yoxel outside of the athletic limitations is that he's inconsistent. You would think for a guy of his age, he would just dominate every game. You know what I mean? He'd come in with that mindset. He'd have an older player's mentality, but he really doesn't. He turns it on and turns it off. And I don't really know how high you can take a guy that turns it on and turns it off, you know?
Yeah. I think it's been better this year, though.
It has. It's been a little bit better because also, you know, the competition's been a little bit better.
Yeah.
But you can only play who you can play. But at the same time, like, I got questions about AJ DeBonsta. Like, I have him 1 and 2 with Peterson, but who
would you have
played?
Two?
1 or 2 over Boozer. He's got the ceiling. Too. All right, here's the way I look at it, Matt. Here's the way I look at it when it comes to valuations. And I think most good GMs do too. You look at players that are ranked similarly in terms of talent or skill level or how high you have them on your board. And then you look at a guy, depending on where your team is at, and you say, could this guy be an all-NBA type player to change my franchise? AJ DeBonsta fits that. Darren Peterson fits that. Cam Boozer, I don't think, is going to be the number one guy on a championship team. Unless he turns out to be Tim Duncan. Like, that's the only way that you could draft that guy, to me, number one overall.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
This is Michael Rosenbaum.
Hey, folks, let me tell you that drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI, because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. Always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that will change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
I think a lot of people in the past made that type of mistake. Like, that's how Michael Jordan went third. That's how, I'm not saying these guys are Michael Jordan, but that's how, you know, Kobe Bryant went as low as he did. Because GMs of the past were like, let's get this safe big man and put him in, you know, put him in our team and we'll build our team from there. The NBA is not played like that anymore.
It's he's been so good. Like, that's where it's he's been unbelievable.
He's been really, really good, Matt. But when you look at how he's going to have to get those buckets at the next level, can he make a living that way at the next level to be a franchise changing type player? That's my
I think he can.
We're gonna find out.
And
more.
Like, well, yeah, we'll talk about this more at length on another podcast.
Right.
And I also like, yes, I do agree. Like, there are some questions, but even with some of those questions, he's been remarkably efficient.
Right.
Not just offensively, but like defensively as well.
He's very, very good defensively. He's a great team defender. Again, he's not going to block a lot of shots for you. He's not that type of vertical athlete. Because even in the college level, he averages what, like a block a game?
Yeah, it's a block exactly. A block and then 1.7 steals.
Right. He's an amazing passer. I think in the next level, he's going to lean into that more.
They're going to use him as a hub.
Yes. He's going to be used as a hub because he's such a good passer. So I think at the next level, the scoring comes down, but you see the assists go up. I think the rebounds are always going to be there. He's going to be a nightmare on the boards every night. He plays so hard. He's so smart, plays the angles, uses that big body to move people around.
I've watched a little bit. I don't know if you saw the Arkansas game.
Did I see the Arkansas game? Come on.
It was very funny how he was using his elbow.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it was just like, some of that might get called at the next level, but also we see guys like Jason Tatum do it all the time.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks for joining, SK. Appreciate you. We're live, man. We're here and in person in our new comfy studios. We're talking about Cam Boozer right now. Can you take him number one? Is he a franchise changing player? Can he be the best player on a championship team? That's the question.
I think he can. It's like the three is tough, the top three.
Yeah.
Then I think, as many have belabored before, it kind of separates itself from four onward.
I agree with that. I definitely agree with that.
As time goes on, as these games are played, we're going to be splitting hairs.
Well, the hair splitting for Darren Peterson is going to be interesting too, because now he has an injury history in college.
Yeah. What was it? Hamstring?
Yeah. Soft tissue, man, both times.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a question. I mean, personally, I'm not throwing out of my evaluation. I mean,
me neither. But
teach the kid to stretch a little bit better, hydrate better. You know, he'll be just fine.
Yeah.
There's some other questions that have arose. Michael Brown Jr. I'm not going to waffle from game to game. I think he's an outstanding talent. We've already established that I have Acuff above him. Been in a drought, man. He's been in a funk the last couple of games.
The shooting, as I said a few pods ago, is something that I want to see improve.
Right.
The efficiency. The passing, the
shot selection.
Awesome, but the shot just isn't quite there. I wonder if that just comes with an acclimation period in conference play.
Yeah, hopefully that's another thing we're going to be on the lookout for, seeing how that translates in conference play. But also it's the shot selection. I think he takes really bad shots sometimes. He'll rush it. He'll try to ISO it. And instead of when things get tough and opponents are pressing, instead of just settling for that deep three, you got to press through that, make a move and get into the paint, collapse the defense, kick. Because like you said, his passing's unbelievable. Lean into that. You don't have to play hero ball.
Yeah, just the passing and his just like his ball handling in general. Like he's got that thing on a string. It feels
absolutely.
Like.
He does. No, he really does. He's an excellent ball handler. Him and Acuff are right up there. Kingston Flemings is interesting because he's a terrific ball handler in his own right, but he does it with less, I would say, flash. It's more just basic crossover because I'm so quick, I'm gone. That's how Kingston Flemings.
There's not a ton of creativity
No, and he doesn't really need it because he's so quick.
But it's also one of those things where it's like, if I'm looking at it from an evaluation standpoint, I do want to see that at some point.
Right.
Or at least flashes of it. It's crazy. We'll get to our top 10. I don't know when we're going to do our top 10 or top our lottery or whatever.
Well, you know what? Let us know in the comments. Would you like to see us do a top 10 early in the season? I mean, because it's really up to the viewer. If that's something you want to see us do, we'll do. Put it in the comments down below.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where it's like, I have Kingston, just spoiler alert for people, very high on my list. But like, it's one of those things, like, it's hard for me to judge him. You can't look at his last couple of games, especially against some of these bad teams, because they're beating Jackson State and New Orleans by a bajillion points. And so it's like, okay, what are you really going to take away from that game? He's still shooting 51% from three, or 52%.
It's unbelievable. He's still shooting.
I know that's not going to sustain itself. People, I hope everyone is aware of that.
You mean like Heat Nation thought Simone Fontecchio was going to continue to shoot 50% from three? That's not going to happen?
He's still shooting, I don't remember exactly what it is. At one point, it was in the 70s, just a ridiculous percentage at the rim.
Right.
I'm very interested to see, like, once defenses begin to realize that he's one of, if not the focal point of that offense, how they're going to adjust the role allocation of sticking their best defender on him.
Right.
And just how he's going to navigate that. Cause he's got good size, good positional size. I still think he's a decent defender.
Yeah.
I think he'll improve over time. He's playing with a couple of other good complementary players, and Senak and Emmanuel Sharp. And
dude, Senak's actually going to be a beast at the next level. I think
I think the motor, the thing with him coming out was the motor. Okay, how is this going to work with Kelvin Sampson?
Right.
I think in the games that I've watched, I've been a little bit more impressed by it.
Yeah.
I think it's been there's been some bad, but it's been mostly good.
Right. Dude, I mean, and he's so strong on the glass. He gets his hands on the ball. Nobody's taking it from him. I mean, he just goes up and gets it.
Yeah.
He's really physical. I think there's some raw offensive tools that he's going to build into as well as he gets, a little bit more polish as the season goes on. But I like Senak, but he is extremely raw. He's extremely raw. Now, one player I got some reservations about, and it's the number one team in the country, Koa Pete from Arizona. And I like Koa Pete a lot. I like him a lot. He's built like a freaking football player because half his family is football players. But anyway, Andres Pete, Pittsburgh Steeler, offensive tackle, is his brother. So Koa Pete, extremely strong, very smart, savvy. But really, he's a mid-range and in guy. He doesn't do anything from the outside.
That was the book on him.
Can't shoot from the outside. He'll defend. I mean, he's a good defender. But he's also a little raw on the block as well. He doesn't have a lot of post moves. His hands, his arm length, his wingspan, I think, is going to be worrisome. So I'm really going to keep an eye on the NBA Combine for that. He can elevate. He can get up and get on top of the rim, but he doesn't always do it. And he'll get blocked. He'll get blocked quite a bit against these taller, longer, and strong. And well, not stronger, but taller and longer teams. So it's going to be something to monitor, something to watch. How does he finish around the rim? Is he able to manufacture his own buckets? I think he's a smart passer as well. I think he's a good passer.
Yeah.
I just think it's going to take a little time for us to sort all that out and see where he is, because I had him early in the season right there with Caleb Wilson. I think Caleb Wilson has kind of separated himself, even though he's incredibly raw. I think he's got a little bit more offensive juice than Koa Pete.
Yeah, I agree.
And we're going to talk and close today's show, not with Cam Carr, because we talk about him every single show. And I listed him there to talk about another Matt Hanifin favorite so I could hit the sounder. We're going to talk about JT Toppin. What a game did he have against Arkansas. Christian Anderson, too. Shout out to him. Electric second-year point guard from Texas Tech. Played really well. But you could see the difference in poise between him and Acuff. Like, Acuff really controlled that game, controlled the flow of that game. Toppin was like their whole offense. He made the whole thing go. I mean, still, we've been talking about this for how many years now? He only goes over his right shoulder, shooting that left-hand jump hook, and they still can't stop it, Matt Hanifin.
I've seen him go over the left shoulder more as time goes on, but still not very much.
I was going to say, more is very relative to none.
It's the same eval.
It's the exact same eval.
Not that it's like he's been terrible. He's been awesome this year. 22.9 points, 12 rebounds, 1.5 blocks, 1.5 steals.
The motor doesn't stop.
It's a similar eval.
Yeah.
To what it was like from a shot profile standpoint, honestly. But like the defense going back to his days in New Mexico was always very good.
Oh, he's a terrific defender.
Yeah, the offensive rebounding, the activity on the glass has always been really good.
There's been flashes of the passing, but I don't know if he's
like a high-level processor, and that's always been the case.
But he's one of these guys, Matt Hanifin, that at the next level, they're not going to feature him like that on the low block. So what is he going to bring to you offensively if they're not going to feature him is the question. Just get it off the glass and put it back in, or pick and roll?
They're going to have to tap into the vertical spacing.
Yeah, something. He'll get on the floor because of his defense.
His career, but like, it doesn't feel like it's been as much as it was.
Right.
But like, that's what it is. It's the vertical spacing, because like, his shooting hasn't developed.
No.
His tendencies are still the same tendencies, just at a greater frequency. Just at a greater frequency. Like, it's crazy.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, let me ask you this one. I'll end the show with this question. Yeah, what's up, E? Welcome to the stream. I appreciate you, man. How do you like the new studio, E? Put it in the comments. Really interested what people think. If they like it, if they don't like it. Is it too much with the backgrounds? Do we need to knock it off? So I'm going to give you three names, and I want you to rank these three names. I know how much you love this exercise. JT Toppin, Fury Badunga, Henry Vassar.
Oh, Jesus.
Tough.
I'm gonna go Badunga.
Yeah, I love Badunga, man.
He just does the big guy things.
He does.
Rebounds, block shots, dunks.
Yes, with authority. He dunks with authority, man. No doubt.
Can't do anything else.
He can't do anything yet. He's still young. He's still a young guy.
He's an old sophomore.
I mean, he's 21. You're right. It's pretty old.
Well, yeah, he's going to be 21 on draft night. That's pretty old for a guy who's played 2 years in college.
Pretty old for a sophomore. E says he likes it. It's on point. Keep it. All right.
I'm going to say Badunga. Jesus, I hate. Not hate. Hate is a very strong
word. It's a very strong word, Matt Hanifin.
I'll probably go Toppin and then Vassar.
Wow. Okay. I'm higher on Vassar than a lot of people are. I think he can be better than Kalkbrenner at the next level. Kalkbrenner is going to be the better shot blocker, but I think what Vassar can do offensively is going to be much better than what Kalkbrenner can do offensively. Because all Kalkbrenner can do is dunk. Literally, that's it. He does nothing else but dunk.
Hey, man, he sets good screens.
All right. So does Vassar, man. He sets good screens as well.
My problem with Vassar is he's just not strong.
He's not. He's still 7 foot, 225.
He's shooting the three better this year, albeit on two attempts.
he is shooting. And that's the thing I like, is that his form is good. Even though the volume is low, he has good form. He has a nice touch. He can shoot the three at the next level. I could be completely wrong about this. Kalkbrenner could be way better. That's just
I think Kalkbrenner's more going to be more impactful. I think based on statistically.
Think he can do more things. I really do. I just think he can do more things.
He can do more things offensively, but...
But he also rebounds. It's not like Kalkbrenner's going to be massively better at rebounding than him.
I don't think... Yeah, Ryan's rebounding numbers aren't very high right now, but I also think that's a byproduct of the team that he plays on and the players surrounding him. But the same could be said about Vesar at the next level.
Right.
Too. So
we're going to find out, man, but this is the beauty of it. So I love the NBA draft. I love talking about these prospects, seeing their growth and, evaluating our games, Matt. But that's it for us today. Let the people know where they can find you, follow you, and get more of your work.
You can find me at NPH_824_ on Twitter. You can find hoops.com, VendettaSportsMedia.com, MustConnection.com, as well as Orlando Magic on SI.
Absolutely. And I'm Digital Adele. You can find me on social media under that moniker. Instagram, it's Digital_Adele, but everywhere else, just Digital Adele. You can also find me writing on SI for NBA draft content for the Orlando Magic, the Miami Heat, the Indiana Pacers, Milwaukee Bucks, and Memphis Grizzlies. And that's it for us today. Don't forget to like and subscribe. We'll see you next time.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.